chapter 13, if you will. Mark chapter 13. Anybody need a worksheet? Raise your hand up. Anybody miss getting a worksheet? Like to have one? Slip your hand up. One down front here, John. Secretary didn't get one. Right down front here. She brought them all the way out here for me. Nah. Mark chapter 13, verse number 1, if you will. And we're kind of working our way through Mark. We're not hitting everything as we did with Matthew. These are some portions that are not really covered in Matthew. This one is covered again in Luke, but it's not covered in Matthew. And so, again, reading one of the Gospels isn't enough because they all come from different perspectives. And there's things that are added, and depending on what their purpose is of the book, they really do show some different things. Let's read the passage first. Mark chapter 13, verse number 1. Here we go. And as Jesus, went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And basically they were saying, aren't you impressed? Have you noticed how big these stones are? And when we did Matthew, by the way, they said some of the stones were supposedly like 4 foot wide and 16 feet long. I mean, they were huge stones. How they ever got them in place, I don't know. But, of course, they built the pyramids, too, back then. I mean, you just take your time. Years ago, when some of you folks who were down at my dad's place before we sold all his things and when he was still alive, and he had a lathe in the back corner there that was just huge. It's probably about as long as the third pew back, I guess, and great big huge thing, and heavy, I mean, just all cast iron and so forth. And he put that in place by himself. You just keep plugging away. You need a little steel rod, and he'd slide it here, and he'd slide it here, and until he finally got it back where he wanted it to be, and he'd have some way to jack it up and get the rod out and all this kind of stuff. So they could do most anything. So the fact is they had these stones, huge stones. And so he's pointing out the beautiful stones, the heavy stones, the buildings, things that would never move. Would they? Verse 2. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And can you hear him now? Really? 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 And as he sat upon the mount, verse 3 of Olives, over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Now notice that's a singular word, sign. So it's just like they're going to be one big thing and it's going to say, oh, boom, tribulation coming. No, it's not really quite like that. Verse 5, and Jesus answering them began to say, watch it. First of all, he says, looking for a sign. Take heed lest any man deceive you. That's in response to their question. What's the sign that we're going to see? Okay, first of all, there's going to be some guys who are going to try to sell you a bill of goods. They're going to want you to follow them. And they're going to come up with something, and everybody's going to go, ooh, ah. He says, don't be deceived. Verse 6, for many shall come to my name, in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall receive many. Now, notice the word Christ is in italics there. Remember the King James Bible, the word that's in italics was added by the translators, at least they're honest about it. Whereas some other translators aren't honest about the extra words they added in there. But they added the word Christ to finish out the grammar. But if you take the word Christ out, it basically means this. For many shall come in my name saying, I am that I am. That word I am means I exist. And so they're going to say, hey, look who I am. Verse 7, and when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves. So don't get carried away with some of these things. Watch out. Don't do something stupid. Don't go off the deep end. Take heed to yourselves. Watch yourself, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must, and this is not out of place. I think there's some people who want to say this verse is out of place. It's not out of place. And the gospel must be published among all nations. Must first be published among all nations. And when they shall lead you, it didn't say if, it said when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And that little phrase there, let him that readeth understand, if you've got a red letter edition, you know that's in black. Okay, so that's put in there by Mark in the middle of his little commentary that Mark is not in italics, so that's not translation, and that's the translators. That's in there, and that was put in there by Mark in the midst of Christ's words. And to be honest with you, and this is just me, you can throw it out and take it for a grain of salt. I think that line is for the ones who are going to be reading it during the tribulation time. You that read this thing, this is for you. Remember, these things, we're not going to understand everything about Revelation and Daniel, because a lot of it isn't for us, it's for time to come. Now, we can get a bit general gist of some things, but just as Isaiah probably didn't understand everything he wrote down about the first coming of Christ, I don't think we're going to understand everything about the second coming of Christ. But now we look back at Isaiah, and we see, you know, all the prophecy in Micah, you know, and all the prophecies that are there. It's like, wow, look how it all fits together. And I can imagine being in the midst of the persecution and the craziness and the world falling apart during the tribulation, and reading that and saying, ha, he wrote that for me. He wrote that for me right now. And I think there's a certain amount of truth of that. Let's pray, and we'll talk about take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, I want to be a blessing. And Lord, there's a lot of things we go through in this passage, but Lord, I want to teach a principle through this passage this evening. So Lord, I pray that you'll give us your wisdom. We need your Holy Spirit. And Lord, use us. We thank you for what you're going to do in Christ's name. Amen. Let me say a statement. We'll get right to number one here. A servant. Remember, Mark shows Christ as a servant. And he also, of course, Christ is teaching his disciples to be what he is. And part of that is being a servant. You remember reading The Training of the Twelve? Did you ever read The Training of the Twelve? Well, that was like one of those books everybody had to read. I guess they've got another one there, but it talks about the life of Christ and how he trained his 12 disciples. But a servant, watch me, a real true servant serves at all times. A servant doesn't say, well, I'm going to show everybody that I'm a servant, and then serves, and then waits to be served. Someone who has a servant's heart just serves all the time. That's kind of just who they are. Now, a servant serves when, okay, let's go back to the 1800s. You got a servant in the house. The servant serves when they're in the big house. I'm not talking about the big house, you know, you're chained up. But the big house. The servant serves when they're in the big house. But you know, the servant serves even if there's no house left. Now, we need that, we as Christians are to have that servant's attitude. Now, look at what we're saying here. Number one, I'm going to give you one and two, and that's part of my introduction. Then we're going to start at number one, really, for the rest of the message here. But the introduction is the first few verses of this passage where Jesus is introducing us into what he's going to tell us. Number one, our current situation will not always be our situation. Let me say that again. Our current situation will not always be our situation. We've had a good run here in America. I hope it runs along a lot longer. I'll be honest with you, I just have no idea what's going to happen in November. I'm sorry, don't be mean, but I think we got some surprises coming no matter what happens. I really do. So we've had a good run, and I hope it continues. I got kids and grandkids. I would love to see, be able to enjoy the America that I enjoy, but the fact is the America that I grew up in isn't even here anymore. I would like to see it not get any worse. Look at Mark 13, 1, 2 here. It says, "And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what building are here." In other words, isn't this wonderful? This is going to be here forever. Nothing can move the temple of God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Seest thou these great buildings? You look at them. I know where they are. You look at them. Look real close. You see what they're made of? There shall not one stone, shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, when that happens, that doesn't mean God's call to us to be servants is now over. We're going to serve God as long as there's a house of God. What happens if there's no longer a house of God? What happens? I don't want to be a doomsday preacher, but what happens if they decide that we're no longer tax exempt? Well, it's not so much about giving your money and being tax exempt. I'm talking about taxes on this property. Can you imagine what the taxes on even if we never built the new building? This is $1.8 million. And the way our school taxes are and everything else, can you imagine what the taxes are going to be? What happens if it comes to the point they decide they're going to confiscate our building? You say, well, that could never happen. Oh, come on. There's a lot of things we thought would never happen. And they could just decide, we need the building. This is a nice building. It's flat. There's no problem. It's up to date. We're going to eminent domain the building. What happens when we no longer, letter B, we can become very comfortable in our current situation? We can come to the point that we trust in our current situation as if it will never change, when in reality, our current situation is rather recent. If you think about it for America, it's rather recent. 240 years out of 10,000. That's not really very long. Now, it could be, I think the earth is really somewhere more around 6,000 to 8,000. But let's give it a little bit. It's short-lived when compared to the grand scheme of things. Things that appear to be unmovable in our lives can quickly crumble into dust. And that's exactly what he's saying here. You see these stones? This is our current situation. Don't count on that. Now, I'm not trying to be a doomsday preacher. What I am saying, though, you see, it is doomsday if you're counting on those things. If you're not counting on these things, then what's the difference? What's the difference of a few rocks when the Lord, our rock, is sitting on a throne? Now, so letter C, be careful not to place your trust in things that are not eternal. Be careful not to place your trust in things that are not eternal. This is America. We always win. You'll see. Number two, though there are signs of change that can be observed, we are not going to be able to detect ahead of time exactly, in words exactly, when things are going to change. You say, when? Well, things are going to wax worse and worse. Now, it could be hundreds of years before Christ comes back. It really could. And if that's the case, it is possible we may go through some pretty difficult times. It is. Is it possible that we could have revival and come back? Yes, it is. Aren't you glad for that? But we're not going to get it just sitting here. We have to do what God has called us to do. And by the way, verse 10 said, and the gospel must be first published among all nations. That's what we need to do. We need to be giving out the gospel. So, number one, our current situation is not always going to be our situation. Number two, we don't know exactly when things are going to change. It could be any time. Look at verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Now, God is not going to tell us exactly when things are going to happen. You know why? Because then we would live for self and play around and not work and keep sinning until the Father comes to get us. But we know he's coming home at 10 o'clock, so we'll wait till then to wash the dishes. We'll wait till then to mow the lawn. We'll wait till then to try to win somebody to Christ. We'll wait till then to get on our knees and confess our sins and get right with him. In the meantime, we need to take heed to ourselves and not allow ourselves to get off task and off track. We don't know when these things are going to be. In fact, I didn't think about this, but in the book of Acts, when Jesus says in the first chapter, he says, when they therefore were come together to ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When are we going to set up the kingdom? Don't worry about the kingdom. Go win somebody to Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing right now. That is where I think we got the saying, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Now, I can say it this way, we can't be too godly minded. But I think sometimes we can get so focused on that, we all know all about it, but we're so busy thinking about what things to come and all this, and in the meantime, folks are going down the street and past us, and they're dying and going to hell or dropping off. Do you all know, I don't know whether some of you will have remembered, Debbie Miller, she was a niece to Gene Gaughan, Bob and Gene Gaughan. It's been years ago. Debbie Miller died yesterday. I'm doing her funeral on Saturday. She's like, I don't know, I think she's like 8 years older than I am. Young. Died in her sleep, apparently of a heart attack. Gone. We don't know. We don't know. I got the call today. We don't know. So Luke 19:11 says this, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was not at Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. What are you saying? Get busy. Stay busy. Fulfill what you've been called to do until I come. Keep busy. Number one of the actual message now. Number one, ready? Don't wander off. We're supposed to occupy until we come. We've got a job to do. And watch, things are going to get a little tough here. But servants serve even when the conditions are not as good. Don't wander off. Don't go looking for another possible answer. There's the word, answer, when this seems like the hard way to go. The Bible says, those who endure to the end shall be saved. That's what he said there. What does that mean? We're gonna be saved because we endured. No. Look what it says. Those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. If this is real, though we may have lapses and a little bit here and there, when it's all said and done, those who endure to the end are the folks who are saved. They're the real ones. If it really truly runs off, if you don't really truly believe it, then you don't believe Jesus is your rock. You're not believing the eternal. We're scared of the temporal. We say, what if I die? Well, you go to heaven. Now, I'm not looking to take that trip. Be honest with you, dying doesn't scare me. The process kind of worries me a little bit. But as soon as the process is over, everything's good. Right? So, verse 5, underneath the letter A, there, underneath that second number 1 there, says, and Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Take heed. He says, keep a lookout. Beware. Because there's going to be some men to deceive you. That word deceive means to cause one to roam from the truth. That little word there, to roam, to kind of wander off, to be led astray, to be seduced. When things get tough, listen, we're already in a society where people don't want to stand for truth. There are people who have left our church to go to places because they're nicer. They don't say that homosexuality is wrong. Now, I don't hate homosexuals. They can come to the door all the time, but I get to give them the gospel. Glad to do it. Glad to lead them to Christ. I'd be glad to help them work this out and get right. Just like I would anybody else. You know, you have a jail ministry. You might have a guy in there who's a murderer. I remember the first time I went to the Baltimore City Jail, and they checked us. This is years and years ago, and they checked us all out. Gave us a pat down, and we went through the metal detector. And I remember when the bars went clank, boom, bang. That was weird. And we were going to go into the section of that jail where the murderers are to do a service. And you know what? When I got in there, you know what I found? There are people with a God-sized hole in their heart just like everybody else. Some were repenting, some weren't. Just like the sits in churches most places. There are places where people who are repenting, some weren't. He says, we better be careful because, well, look, those folks over there, they don't take that stand, so we're not going to get the rebuffed like we do over here. So we're going to take the easy way out. We're just going to kind of wander off. He says, don't let anybody lead you astray. Letter B, when things get tough and the pressure is on, he says, take heed. You do not follow after lies, but after truth. Don't wander off. Did I give you that one? Take heed. We need to be ready for change by being ready to live by faith in the eternal. Let me say that again. We need to be ready for that change. It could get tough. How are we going to be ready? By being ready to live by faith in the eternal. We ought to wait, by the way, we ought to get that settled now before the crisis comes. Because once the crisis comes, it's going to be too late, and we're not going to know what, and we're going to do some knee-jerk reaction, and we're going to go off into some things that we shouldn't go off in. We're going to be deceived. Do not allow the current crisis to cause you to look for answers in another place. God has the answers. Don't go looking someplace else. Well, now, you see, if I do what the Bible says, it's going to get worse on me. Well, it might. It might. But don't get sidetracked. Some get sidetracked because they have little to do and they start getting curious about other options. There are some folks who don't have enough to do. By the way, it's plenty to do with the church if you're willing to serve. You know, some people are willing to serve in church as long as it's in a position of advisor, just like some of us are willing to serve God as long as we're in a position of advisor. But I found if we're faithful in little, God makes us ruler over much. I have just found that to happen. Not just here. I'm talking about across the board. Some people get sidetracked because they don't have enough to do, and they start wandering here. They start saying, well, this looks kind of cool. Well, this is kind of interesting. Well, I hadn't heard that before. Let's go look over there. Some get sidetracked because they get scared in the circumstances and start looking for other options or things that they're willing to entertain the thought of other options. Well, if we stay here, we're going to get the heat. You know, I could probably serve God over there, and the heat's going to get there a lot later than it does over here. Maybe we'll just get sidetracked. Many people are going to wander off. They're going to roam away, roam after those that call themselves the Messiah. That's what he's saying. Proverbs 23:23 says this, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. That word buy basically means do what it takes to get it. It might cost you something to get truth. But if you've got the truth, don't let it slip out of your hands at any price. See what I'm saying? They say every man's got a price. Don't have a price on truth. Don't sell truth. You sell truth, you no longer have the eternal. And you're going to be trusting in the temporal. And it may be looking really good, like stones 4x4x16. But there may come a day when not one stone is standing, sitting upon the other. But thy word shall not pass away. Every jot and tittle shall be fulfilled. Though heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. Sometimes people become accustomed to the truth, watch, and it is no longer thrilling. So that when they come across something that seems intriguing or seems like they found something that no one else has found before, they wander down the trail for a while. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't let it pull you away, because it's real easy. Not everything that, as the old saying goes, not everything that shimmers is gold. Glitters, that's the word. Everything that glitters is gold. Number one, don't wander off. Things are going to get tough, but don't let yourself kind of wander off. Number two, don't be scared off. Don't be scared off. Don't allow the world around you to scare you into silence. Why mean silence? He says that the gospel must be first published among all nations. We're supposed to be occupying till he comes. What are we supposed to be? Meantime, he's saying, it's going to be a mess, and we're going to talk about some things here. It could be really tough. That doesn't change the orders. It doesn't change truth. It doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change our calling. Don't get scared off. Look at verse 7. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. For such things must needs be. But the end is not yet. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. So he says, when you shall hear the wars and rumors of wars, in other words, you're going to hear about reported conflicts. You know what I heard somebody give us some stats just this week, and they talked about how many people died in conflicts in the 1700s, and then how many died in the 1800s, and how many, and so it was millions. But how many died in the first from I think they said from, I mean it was like four million for each century people who died in conflicts. And then when you get to the 20th century, from 1900 to about 1970, something like 23 million people had died in conflicts. And they were every year they were gradually getting worse, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. He says, when you hear about the wars and the rumors of wars, be not ye not troubled. Don't wail. Don't be frightened. Don't run scared. We say, well, they should be scared. The man who's eternal is still on the throne. We'll say, well, what happens to me? Well, if you die, you go to heaven. You say, well, you say that so lightly. I don't want to go either, but it's still the truth. This is a vapor. It rises up and it disappears. I can't believe I'm 56 years old. I just cannot believe that. My wife is years old. My soul. Where did it go? You give your life to Christ. But the fact is, this is not what we're living for. We get saved, we have a calling here, but we've got what we're living for is what's on the other side. He says, don't get frightened, for such things must needs be. He says, this is all part of the process we have to go through. This is all, God knew all this was going to happen. It must needs be. It's going to happen. Oh, it's terrible, terrible, terrible. Well, it is terrible, but it's all part of what's going to happen. And then it says, and rise against nation, nation against kingdom, earthquakes. My soul, I didn't even hear about the one in Italy. I didn't have a chance. I mean, I didn't even hear about that yet. I mean, think about what, almost every day there's another earthquake. Earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. That word troubles means the agitations of the world. These are just inconveniences compared to what is yet to come. You think this is bad? This is just an inconvenience. These are the beginnings of sorrows. These are just the commencement of things, the necessary pre-labor pangs. That's really what that word is like Braxton Hicks, if you ladies went through all that stuff. The pre-labor pangs. Do they hurt? Yeah, they hurt. Are they uncomfortable? Yeah, but you ain't seen nothing yet. We look at the little window of time in which we live and we lose perspective of God's grand plan. Yes, things are getting worse, but don't run around saying the sky is falling like Chicken Little. We have things to do before Christ comes for us. God is preparing the world to receive the gospel by bringing them to their knees. Don't allow these things to scare you too, as if you have no hope. Well, where do these words come from? I'll show you where the words come from. I think you have it on your paper there. James 4 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? There's the answer. Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust, you have not. You kill, you desire to have, you cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. Why do we have all this sin? And men, in the last days, men, there should be perilous times. Why? Because men shall be lovers of themselves. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So they wax worse and worse. And so the more sin, more problems. Number 3, don't be chased off. Don't be chased off. We don't want to wander off on our own. We don't want to be scared off. Don't be chased off. Don't allow authorities to intimidate you into submission or silence. We will have opposition. Look at verse 9. But take heed to yourselves. He said again, watch yourself, keep an eye on yourself that you don't let yourself go someplace you shouldn't go, get into something you shouldn't get into, or stop doing some things you should be doing. Take heed of yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils and to the synagogues. Ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. If you've never, it's a hard read, but if you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it might be something you want to do sometime. It's a hard read. There are places in there where two men were being burned at the stake simply because they wanted to get the Bible out. And by the way, I'm not being mean. I'm not being vindictive. This is not revenge. But it wasn't the Muslims who burned them at the stake. I'm not trying to be mean. It was the Catholics. I'm sorry, and I'm not hurting you, but it was the Catholics. Now, I'm not saying that every Catholic is a Christian burner at the stake type of person. No. Just like not every Muslim believes that you're supposed to go out and kill everybody. But the fact is, that's where we were. And there's stories in there where one man said, "Pray for me that I don't recant and run away." Do you remember reading that? He said, "Pray for me that I don't recant, that I don't go back on my vow, don't go back on my testimony. I want to stand strong. Pray for me." And you hear about these men singing praises while literally their flesh is falling off the bone because of the fire. How are we going to do that? That's somebody who really believes this thing. Listen, there's been times in my life, it's been years ago, where I had to wrestle with that. Do I believe this thing or do I not? When I stand up here and say, you may be visiting your preacher in jail, and I smile, it's not because I take it lightly, it's because God gives grace. I don't want to go. We're that close to being, to have an infraction of the law by simply reading portions of the Bible. It's already being done in other areas of the world. There are certain counties in California, it's illegal to tell a little boy, a little girl, that Jesus loves you and he doesn't want you to go to hell, so he died and paid for your sins because you're going to say they might go to hell. We had a mother 3 years ago. The little girl came to Vacation Bible School and got saved. She was crying tears of joy. When Mama came to got her, she saw the tears. And she asked her what's going on. She said, "Well, I don't have to go to hell now because I asked Jesus in my heart and she's happy." And she's like, "How dare you tell that?" She's too young to be telling that child that what she's going to do is going to send her to hell. How dare you? Let that hit the newspaper and see how the PC people take it. We could be in trouble. Don't allow government and authorities to cause you to stop fulfilling your calling. Watch. Not the church leadership, not the local government, not the governors, the mid-level leadership, not the president, not the kings. We have a job to do, but we could get in trouble. Letter B, we still have a calling. We still have a calling. Verse 10 says, and the gospel must be published among all nations. That's what we're here for. That's why we're still here. Why does he put that in the middle of all these things? He says, listen, there's rumors and wars and wars and rumors of wars. There's earthquakes and all kinds of crazy stuff's going to be. But the gospel, the time's not yet. The gospel still has to be preached. That's a wonderful time to preach the gospel when everybody's wondering what in the world's going to happen. I remember in 2008 when everything started going crazy with the economy. We're trying to pay off the mortgage and this and that and the other thing so we could get, you know, into this. And I remember saying then, how in the world are we going to build a church when the economy goes down? It's a good time to build a church because people start looking up. Oh, my soul, this is bigger than me. I need to find somebody who's bigger than me. Letter C, God will help us in our calling. God will help us in our calling. Look at verse 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought before what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given unto you in that hour, that speak ye. for it's not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. You're going to say, what in the world am I going to tell them? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Well, but how do I know? He said, have you trusted him this long? Listen, if you're willing to go through all this and trust in him, you're walking with him. He's going to let you know what's going to happen. Listen, it's the same thing. I've used this illustrated before. You ever notice somebody goes through a terrible time in health-wise or whatever it is, and somehow we're all upset and they're not? Why is that? Because God has given him grace. We'll say, well, but I couldn't do it. You don't need the grace because you're not going through it. And in fact, he doesn't want you to have the grace because otherwise you wouldn't recognize the grace that he's giving that person when he gives it. It is supposed to look abnormal. It is supposed to be a miracle. It is supposed to be the Holy Spirit working. It is supposed to be beyond imagination because it's God working. God's not going to make you clever so you can talk your way out of trouble. The purpose is that the whole world knows the gospel. And even in our times of persecution, God is going to use us to fulfill our purpose to preach the gospel to every creature. It could even be talking about an example of that when Peter and John said, well, we can't help but preach those things which we've seen and heard. Whether to obey God, but man, or be, I mean, God or man before first, you know, you decide. But we have to obey God rather than man. We got to do what God has called us to do. And they put him in, and then they let him out. Sure enough, where are those guys? Well, they're out there preaching. The next morning, they're out there preaching. They got thrown in jail. I'll tell you what a lot of Christians would do. We get thrown in jail, and we get out. We say we count our blessings. We put our tail between our legs and go home and suck our thumb. That was a real jail, not one with air conditioning and a toilet. Steel chains on your ankles and your wrists. They don't take you to the toilet. You just go there where the last guy went.
But it was so hard. We had to eat spaghetti 2 days in a row.
Oh, you had food. I'm not trying to be facetious here, but, well, I guess I am. But you see what I'm saying? We have it so good. Oh, yes, I'll serve God. Well, this is going to get worse. Now, we personally may not see that, but some of us are getting shy when, you know, somebody says, one neighbor tells another neighbor they're Christians. They're fundamentalists down there. Instead of saying, yes, they know we stand for Christ.
I might not get invited to next year's Christmas party with the rest of the neighbors because they think I'm weird.
I'm just trying to be plain. Number four, don't get put off. Don't wander off. Don't get scared off. Don't get chased. Don't be chased off. Number four, don't get put off. In other words, don't allow personal relationships and social stigmas to convince you to silence the gospel. Look at verse 12. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. And children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Did you remember years? I remember the first time I heard that a child wanted to be divorced from their parents, and the courts let them do it. What business is it of the courts? Some girl wanted to be divorced from her parents. Because, I forget what she wouldn't. They wouldn't buy her a cell phone or something. I don't know. It was something crazy.
Verse 13, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Again, that doesn't mean if you just stick through, you persevere, you get saved. The same shall be saved. That's the person that's saved from hell. The one that's real. The one that's real is the one that endures. I'm weak. You pray for me because I want to endure. I don't want to recant. Let me burn, but don't let me recant. You know, we see old movies and people are so dramatic, you know, we look at it and so forth. But the fact is, there are some times in life, there are some really some serious decisions you have to make. We've been so comfortable for so long. Some folks will stop following Christ because they became disenchanted. Well, no one likes me anymore. Jesus loves you. I'm just saying this. When I was in high school, I had friends, and I didn't always do what I was supposed to do. But there were some folks, I did decide, you know, if they don't like me because I'm a Christian, then I don't need them. Now, I love them, and I'd be glad to sit down and lead them to Christ, and I'm glad to sit down at lunch and have a conversation. But if they want to cast me off because I'm a Christian, I got a Savior. Now, I can't say I was the best witness all the time. I'm not saying I was as outspoken, but I wasn't going to deny my Lord. Well, I feel like an outsider. With God or with man? Sometimes we're more concerned about being approved by our family and our friends and the world than approved by God. Now, don't be disrespectful. You don't go home and say, "Well, Dad, I'm a Christian. You're just going to have to suck it up." What kind of Christian is that? You know, bless God, we're Christians around here. Don't you forget it. Well, you got to do that. You got to say that, then you got a lot of other problems. The ones that are truly saved will be given grace to endure. I believe that with all my heart. If they turn tail and run, then they weren't saved in the first place. I'm going to read a scripture. I'm almost done. You have it there if you want to look at it real quick. 2 Timothy 4:1. This kind of sums it all up here. Listen, don't wander off. Don't get scared off. Don't be chased off. Don't get put off. Well, you know, I they don't like me anymore, so, you know, don't get put off. 2 Timothy 4:1 says this, "I charge ye therefore." This is 2 Timothy. This is the end of Paul's life. This is when he's talking about, listen, I've fought a good fight. I've run my race. He says, "I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, he says, in other words, don't take this lightly. God's my witness. He's your witness here. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant when it's in season, out of season." Well, we'll just kind of be written, no, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and truth, doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That doesn't mean then we get to stop doing that. He said, the time's going to come. Get ready to preach it and exhort it with all long-suffering and doctrine, because there's going to be time when they don't want to hear it. And you're going to have to be ready to give it with all long-suffering and doctrine. "For the times will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." Did you know that angel by the name of Moroni came to a guy by name Joseph Smith, and he had these golden plates, and on there was the truth. And there's hundreds of thousands of people who follow that fable. Though they can't find the plates, never did, they misplaced them. He didn't keep them safe. They shall turn their ears from truth and be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Meantime, where are we going? Do the work of an evangelist. He didn't say do the work of evangelists as long as you're not afflicted. He says, listen, go ahead, endure the afflictions. But in the meantime, what have we got to be doing? Doing the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. You know what that means? Let everybody see who you really are. Not to put on a show, but they'll see who you are. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, it wasn't about the situation right now. It's about the eternal. Trust the eternal. Don't trust the temporal. The stones are going to be gone. The friends are going to be gone. Listen, the wars are going to be gone. There's laid up for me, verse 8, a crown of righteousness with the Lord. The righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Why is that there? Listen, folks who are attached to this world don't love his appearing because they know they're going to lose all their treasures here when they go. And the people who love their appearing says, I'm going to finally get rid of this mess and now I'll finally get my treasures. Do thy diligence, verse 9, watch, to come shortly unto me. Watch this. For Demas hath forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world and is departed. Things got tough, but he loved the world, not his appearing. Love and look for his appearing, the eternal. Verse 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he's profitable for me for the ministry. There will come a time when the end begins. But you're going to know it when the time comes. Verse 14 says, but when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understandeth. I think this verse is really not for us. We are not going to see the abomination of desolation. That's the middle of the tribulation. We're already gone. But those who are to come, we need to see this and understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Meantime, we read the Bible, we study it, we're going to know what we need to know. But in the meantime, don't get sidetracked. Fulfill your calling no matter what comes. Watch it. Take heed to yourself. Father, thank you again for your word. In a way, this is encouragement because it could get real, real rough before you actually come. But when it really comes, we'll be gone. We'll be gone. Father, I pray that you bless these dear folks. Help us to stand for you. Help us to make some holy vows and some holy decisions in the heart that you're ours. And no one can take that away from us. Bless our time. In Christ's name, amen.